I want to ask you a question today. Do you know what winning looks like? I mean, I know we know what winning looks like because it's the team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner. It's the one with the gold medal around their neck. They're the winner. But do you know what winning looks like in life? With the ups and downs, all the things that are going on around us right now, do you know what winning looks like for you? Think for a moment about some of those contests that you've seen about someone trying to win a car or a truck, and they have to come out, and there's all these contestants that put their hand on the vehicle, and if they will just outlast all the other contestants, they will win that new car or truck. But as time goes on, they kind of get distracted. Maybe for a moment they forget about holding onto the car, and they go to just itch their nose or ear, and they lose their chance. Maybe there's two contestants that get into a conversation. They start to talk about politics or religion or some other facet of life, and they get riled up, and before long they go to gesture, they go to have conflict, and they lose their chance at that vehicle. Do you know what winning looks like? Back in 1974, there was this boxing match. It was called the Rumble in the Jungle. It was between George Foreman and Muhammad Ali. These two heavyweight champions were coming to Zaire, Africa for this special fight. George Foreman had had 40 wins in his career, 0 losses, 40 wins, and 37 of those were knockouts. Muhammad Ali was 7 years older. He had had 44 wins, but only 31 were knockouts, and he had 2 losses in his career. Muhammad Ali was the underdog. George Foreman was favored to win 4-1 over Muhammad Ali. George Foreman was a heavy puncher. He was a power hitter. He was one that probably everybody would say Muhammad Ali would not be able to survive a couple of rounds and maybe not even survive the fight. That's how strong of a punch George Foreman had. And people projected that he would not be able to last against George Foreman. So he went into special training. He invited in a variety of spar partners who would just pummel him, who would just beat him day after day, so he would build up his endurance and his strength so that he could handle the heavy hits from George Foreman. He also came up with a strategy of getting pushed back against the ring and letting those elastic ropes hold him as he was getting hit, and they would absorb some of the pressure, some of the punch, and his body would be lessened or spared as he continued the fight. Muhammad Ali's strategy was to outlast. If he could stay in the fight long enough, George Foreman's energy, his strength, would diminish, and that would give Muhammad Ali a special fighting chance. He called this the rope-a-dope strategy. And he was so excited about it. As the fight goes, as the two enter the ring, we see this power punch who is driving Muhammad Ali back against the ring. And just like he projected, those elastic rings, those strings, ropes were giving him some support. Muhammad Ali was able to stay in the fight much longer than anyone projected. And as we see them going into the 7th and then into the 8th, George Foreman's strength and energy diminishes. Muhammad Ali starts to take the advantage. And though the scorecard would show that the number of punches were almost equal, Muhammad Ali comes out with a knockout. Muhammad Ali comes out with a victory because he went in knowing that he was going to go the extra rounds. He went into this fight knowing that he was going to need to lean on someone or something in order to survive this fight. He knew he was going to go the extra rounds. He knew he needed to lean on someone for support. That would preach real well. I think that's a great illustration as we think about winning in our life. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, we see a wonderful example of what it means for us to win in this life. But I want to point out 4 things for you real quick as you listen to this verse. I hope that you will see. Number 1, as we look forward, as we see into today and into tomorrow, as we look into our own future, we're going to see difficulty. Looking forward through the difficulty. If we're going to be winning, we are going to be looking forward and seeing that we are not alone. As we look forward, we are going to see that God is still working on his own schedule and his own timeline. If we are going to win, we're going to look forward. We're going to see the finish line. We're going to see the reward that's in front of us. And we are going to hold that vision in our minds as we press forward in this life. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32 through 39.
Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in great conflict full of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And but by my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved.
Number one, as we look forward, we're going to see difficulty. Never once has God promised that we would be free from any struggle of life. Never once did God give us the illusion that our path would be so easy and without challenges. We look forward and we can see the difficulties that are in front of us. We know that that's not going to be a surprise. In Luke chapter 21, verse 19, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He has just finished this great illustration of prophesying about what is going to come to Jerusalem, the destruction, the armies that are going to come, the upheaval and the destruction, the death that is about to happen. And Jesus tells his disciples, after he finishes that gory detail, in 21, verse 19, he says, "Stand firm, and you will win life." Stand firm and you will win life. Look forward and you can see the difficulties, but don't run away. Don't get scared. Don't act like something is strange that's happening to you, but stay in the race. Stand firm in this moment and you will win life. Oh, to have Jesus say that to us. In the midst of our difficulties, in the midst of the challenges, the ups and the downs, not only this moment, but so many other moments of life, stand firm and you will win life. Number two, we look forward and we know that we're not alone. We know that God is with us. Listen to this passage in John chapter 15, verse 26. It says, "When the Helper comes," be translated, when the Comforter, when the Counselor, when the Advocate, when the Intercessor, when the Strengthener, when the Standby, when the Stand With comes, God's Spirit comes, "whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes." He proceeds. It was an advancement. It was a prepared. It was a forethought. God was not reacting, but he was proactive. Comes from the Father. He will testify. He will build you up. He will prepare you for what is going on, for the work that I've given to you. He will testify regarding me. We're not alone. It feels sometimes like we're alone. It feels sometimes like we are missing our brothers and sisters. We miss that opportunity to worship, to fellowship, to be together, to lean on each other, but we are not alone. God and God's Spirit are with us. God's Word continually guides us. As we look forward, we see the difficulties, but we also see God is with us. That beautiful poem about the footprints in the sand, as we look back on our life, is true. We can see where God was with us, where he carried us. But we also, through God's word, through God's spirit, can look forward and we can see that God is with us. That's a beautiful blessing, a beautiful comfort in these moments. And number three, we can also see that God is continuing to work on his own schedule. As we look forward, we see that God is still working on his own timeline. I've asked Antonio Ramos to read this passage for us so we get an idea of how God is working with us.
This morning, the scripture is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
God describes us as his handiwork. We're not just some trinket that God has made that's been put up on the shelf. We're not just some clumsy artifact that is remaining in his library or museum, but we are something beautiful that he has made with his own hands. And then he says, for purpose, for the work that I've already prepared for you. The fourth thing is that God has promised a reward for us. As we look forward, we see that finish line. We see the end goal. We see the reward that is waiting for us. And we are faithful, we are diligent, we persevere even more as we move forward towards that finish line. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, it says,
"But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere."
I want you to imagine for a moment a king who's coming back from the war. He is coming back in victory, and the city is in just jubilation. There is great triumph and joy. It is the ticket tape parade. It is the great procession down the main street as everyone is coming out and cheering. There is confetti flying. There is music playing. And now here comes the hero. This passage of him, Christ, leading us in a triumphal procession gives two images as you look back into the history of these words. Either A, it is that general who's coming into the stadium, who's about to receive his wreath and his crown of glory, recognition. And before he enters in, he scoops up his children and he places them there right inside his own chariot as he rides in. These children, his family members, brought right into the spotlight, the highlight of the city in joy. Or you see this parade, this magnificent parade of all those that were a part of this battle, and the king goes first, the generals go, and they are leading in their victory. And right behind them, we get to join in as we are victorious. Either it's a picture of a relative, a family, a jubilation, or it is the picture of a soldier who has been faithful and victorious. Either way, as we look to the finish line, we see that God brings victory. And so as we look forward, we see the difficulties. We see that we're not alone. We join in on God's own schedule. And then we also see the future. We see the goal, the reward that is before us. Today, I want to challenge you. As you read Hebrews chapter 10, 32 through 39, as you see the difficulties, as you see the promise, as you see God joining us, or we joining God, we look forward, but then it brings movement to our life. And so now we start to move forward. We move forward, and I want to challenge you to move forward in proclaiming your position, to announcing who you are and whose you are. It's very simple through our Facebook and social media. I know who are the Democrats. I know who are the Republicans. I know who is in favor of us staying in our home a little bit longer. I know who is in favor of us being released. But are we announcing? Are we proclaiming? Are we sharing that we are God's handiwork? Do we announce that this is the day that the Lord has made? That we are rejoicing in what God is bringing our way? Do we give credit? Do we give glory? Do we give appreciation to what God is doing in our world? Or do we occupy our time, our words, and our writings with all the other things and never proclaiming his praise except when we gather together in our worship? Second thing I want to remind you of is this idea that the power of prayer brings steadfast action. The power of prayer brings us to a place of mobility, of movement, of great success in life. What does winning look like? It looks like a person who is involved in prayer often. George Mueller, who lived in England in about 1800s, started an orphanage, about 30 young ladies in 1836. Soon rented out three other homes so that he could open up space for more children. It grew to about 130 children. And over the next 10 years, the neighbors saw hundreds of kids coming in to this orphanage. They began to complain that the noise was so great, that they were a disruption to the utilities and the way of life there. And so George began to pray that God would provide a new home for them, a bigger home for all of these children. An architect came forward hearing about his work, said, "I would like to provide you the resources for free so that we could build up, so that we could plan out what this new place is going to look like." Little by little, donors started to come out of the woodwork, and God provided everything that George needed to make this new home. He soon had a place for about 1,700 children. Mueller writes in his journal that there were so many great blessings, but then there are also days in which he didn't know how it would all work. He recounted this one time in which there was a situation, there was no food left in the pantries. There was nothing left in the kitchen. And that morning he gathered all the children into the dining hall as they normally did. They set the tables as they normally would. Knowing that there was nothing to be served, he asked all the children to pray as they normally did each morning. And he thanked God for the resources that he's given to him. He thanked God for the opportunities that were before him and said, "Father, thank you for our daily bread." As he finished the prayer, there was a knock at the door. There was a salesman, a dairy salesman, whose cart had broken down just a few blocks away from the orphanage. He was in need of repair. There was no way for him to be able to go about and sell his milk. And so he was going to give that over to the orphanage that morning. Milk was served up to all the children and put away when just another knock came. And the local bakery had a problem with their distribution. And now they had an abundance of bread that they were looking to give to the orphanage. And now each child had bread and milk for the morning. George Mueller would say that there were many times in which he could see God providing daily, but there were some difficult times as well. February 12, 1842, he writes in his journal, "A brother in the Lord came to me this morning and, after a few minutes of conversation, gave me £2,000 or four furnishings for the new orphanage house. I am able to meet all of the expenses, and in all probability, I will even have several hundred pounds more than I need. The Lord not only gives as much as is absolutely necessary for his work, but he gives abundantly. This blessing has filled me with an inexplicable delight." He had given me the full answer to my thousands of prayers during the past 1,195 days. George Mueller knew what it was to be steadfast in prayer, focused on God, joining him on his schedule. Today I want to ask you, do you know what it's like to win? Are you looking forward? Do you see the troubles and run away? Or do you see the troubles and stand firm? Do you see that you're not alone? Do you see that God has his own schedule that we join in? And we can claim the victory. We can see the victory, the reward that's in front of us. Today, as we look forward, I pray that you will join me in moving forward, that we will be people who will pronounce who we are and whose we are. We will be people who are steadfast in prayer, joining God in the work that He has given us for today. Have a great day. Lord, take